Cybersecurity, it always feels like there's some new jargon, some new buzzword to wrap your head around. But this zero trust architecture, this presentation you sent, this one feels different. It's not just a new technology, right? It's like a whole new philosophy of security.
Yeah, no, you're right. It is a fundamental shift. It's really interesting how this whole idea of trust has been totally flipped on its head in the security world.
Totally. Like, it used to be all about building those big, strong walls around your network. Everything inside the perimeter. Safe, assume it's good. Everything outside. Dangerous,
Yeah.
suspicious.
Right, like the old castle and moat model, very 1990s. Back then it was all about hardware, controlling access at the physical level.
Yeah, and it worked for a while. But then, well, the internet changed everything, didn't it?
For sure. The internet and then VPNs becoming more common in the 2000s,
Yeah.
the perimeter of the network, it became so much more permeable, needed to extend that trust beyond just like physical location.
Right, like adding more drawbridges to the castle.
Yeah.
Still assuming that once someone's inside, they're good, they're trustworthy.
Exactly. And then I think the real turning point, the real game changer was cloud computing. And then on top of that, software as a service, that really took off in the 2010s.
And blew those castle walls wide open.
Right.
All of a sudden, you're trusting these external providers. You're trusting their applications. You're putting your data essentially in their castle.
Exactly. And it becomes incredibly difficult to track, well, who has access to what? Where is all this data even?
Right. It's like adding secret tunnels and hidden passageways to the castle. How are you supposed to keep track of everyone coming and going?
Yeah.
And of course, now it's even more complex. IoT, multi-cloud environments, edge computing. It's like the
Yeah.
castle walls have just dissolved completely.
It really is. The traditional network perimeter, it's practically meaningless. And that's exactly why those old trust models, they just don't cut it anymore. They weren't built for this.
Yeah, and it's not just that they're ineffective. This presentation really drives home that clinging to those old models is making things riskier.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, think about it. If you're just assuming everything inside your network is safe, but somehow an attacker, they get through your defenses, your perimeter, well, then what? They're in. They've got free rein to move around, to access sensitive data.
It's like leaving all the doors inside your castle unlocked because, hey, someone managed to get past the guards at the front gate.
Exactly. And the traditional approach, this thing of backhauling all your traffic for security checks, it just makes things worse, creates bottlenecks, slows everything down, and it exposes even more data to possible breaches.
Like forcing everyone in the castle to go through a single checkpoint, even if they're just going from, one room to the next.
Exactly. It's inefficient. And honestly, it's a huge security vulnerability, not to mention just the cost, the complexity of maintaining all those systems, firewalls, intrusion detection,
Oh,
VPNs,
I can imagine.
adds up. And you end up with this mess of different security policies, fragmented, hard to manage, hard to enforce consistently.
It sounds like a real headache.
It can be. And that's where this whole zero trust architecture thing comes in. Instead of trying to defend this like crumbling, irrelevant perimeter zero trust, it says, look, we've got to verify every single access request, no matter where it's coming from.
Okay, so ditch the castle walls. No more assuming that anyone, any device is automatically trusted.
Yeah, exactly. Zero trust, it's never trust, always verify. It's about security being built in from the ground up.
And that's where this National Institute of Standards and Technology, NIST, comes in, right? They've published these guidelines on how to actually put zero trust into practice.
Right, they have a publication, SP 800-207, and it lays out like the core principles of zero trust. So organizations actually have a framework they can follow.
So let's get into those principles. I know the presentation talked about seven key tenets of zero trust. What's the first one?
So the most basic one, I think, is that with zero trust, all data, all your computing resources, they're all treated the same. It doesn't matter where they are.
So no more inside the network versus outside. Everything's treated with that same level of like healthy suspicion.
Exactly. And the second tenet, it flows right from that first one. All communication, it's got to be secure. Doesn't matter where it's happening.
You can't assume that just because traffic is within your internal network, it's automatically safe. Got to encrypt everything. Verify every device, verify every user.
Yes, exactly. And then the third tenet, it's about access. You get access to resources, but only for that session, only what you need. Principle of least privilege.
So even if I've logged in, I've proven I am who I say I am, I still don't just get to roam free across the entire network. I only get to see, to use the specific things I need to do my job.
That's the idea. And when you do need access, well, how's that decided? That's where Tenet 4 comes in. Dynamic policy. It's not just about who you are. It's what you're trying to get into, when, from where. All that gets factored in.
This is where it starts getting really interesting, I think. It's not static rules. It's context.
Yeah.
Real-time evaluation of risk.
Exactly. And to make that whole dynamic policy thing work, you need number 5. Constant monitoring. You've got to watch your assets, user behavior, all of it.
Constantly checking the security of devices, looking for anything weird, anything that says, this might be a compromise.
Yeah, exactly. And none of it works if you don't have really solid authentication and authorization. That's Tenet 6.
Right. You've got to know for sure who is trying to get into your systems to get to your data.
Right. No more weak passwords, no more sharing accounts. Just not an option. And finally, the 7th one. This one emphasizes how important data is. Telemetry, logs, all of that.
So it's not just, okay, we implemented zero trust, we're good. It's, let's look at the data, let's learn, let's adapt.
It's a process, definitely not like a one-time thing.
Okay, so this is all incredibly helpful in understanding the what and the why of zero trust. But let's get practical for a minute. How does this work in the real world? What does it look like?
Well, one of the biggest places you see zero trust having an impact is threat protection. So you're enforcing these really specific access controls, you're watching for suspicious activity. All of that shrinks the attack surface.
Yeah.
So even if someone gets in,
they don't get far.
Exactly. You limit the damage.
So even if an attacker manages to get into one part of the network, they run into these roadblocks, these restrictions, and they can't move laterally to get to the really important data.
Exactly. Containment. Yeah. You're preventing a small problem from becoming a catastrophe.
Okay, so that's threat protection.
Yeah.
What about data protection? How does zero trust help keep sensitive information secure?
Yeah, so data protection, it's more than just encrypting your data when it's just sitting there and when it's moving. With zero trust, you're controlling access to that data, but at a really granular level. Who needs to know this?
Got it. So even if I'm authorized to be on a particular system, that doesn't mean I can see everything. I can't necessarily modify everything. It depends.
Exactly. And you add in data loss prevention policies, you're watching for any data access patterns that look odd, and that's how you cut down on the risk of leaks and breaches.
So it sounds like zero trust is about layers, right? Making it much harder to actually reach the target and making it much easier to see that something's wrong if someone is trying to get in.
Yeah, it's a more resilient security posture. That's the goal. And it's not just about these external threats either. Zero trust, it can help with insider threats.
Oh, that's huge. We spend so much time, you know, worrying about the bad guys outside, but people make mistakes or they go rogue.
And they can do just as much damage, if not more. Zero trust. With least privilege and monitoring, you're making both those intentional and accidental leaks less likely.
That's great. This has all been super helpful, but I think for someone listening, someone who's used to that old castle and moat way of thinking, making this shift to zero trust, it's got to feel like a huge undertaking.
It can. It can. But the thing is, it doesn't have to be this all or nothing thing. You know, you don't rep everything out and start over.
So where do you begin? For a company intrigued by zero trust, but maybe a little intimidated by the scope, where do they even begin?
That's the million-dollar question, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the presentation, actually, it does a good job of addressing that. The key, really, is to start small. Focus on, like, one thing you can manage well and then build on that. Don't try to do everything at once.
I love that. Don't try to do everything at once. It's so easy to get in over your head with this stuff. So pick a starting point. What's an example of something manageable, like first step?
Okay, so one approach is to look at your critical applications, your data. What's mission critical? What already has maybe some decent security around it?
Okay, so you're not necessarily starting from scratch. You're taking something important and making it, well, zero trust. Is that the idea?
Exactly. So maybe you start with really strong authentication just for that one application, multi-factor, something like that. And then, you know, over time, you layer in other zero trust controls, micro-segmentation, real-time threat detection, things like that.
Instead of trying to secure the whole castle, you're reinforcing like the room where the crown jewels are kept.
Exactly. And speaking of the presentation, it talked about network segmentation. That's a big part of this.
So how does that fit into a zero trust strategy?
Network segmentation. It's a key thing here. It's about taking your network, breaking it down into these smaller chunks, more manageable, and then you control the traffic between those segments. Least privilege, all that.
Okay, so even if I get into one part of the network, I can't just like wander around until I find what I'm looking for.
Right, exactly. Like extra walls within the castle.
Yeah.
And then with micro-segmentation, you can get even more granular. We're talking controlling access at the individual workload level. Super important, especially when you've got cloud environments, right? Hundreds, maybe thousands of virtual machines.
Oh, yeah. So it's a much more like fine-grained approach to security. You're not just depending on those outer walls. And this all ties back into that idea of dynamic policy, right? Constant evaluation.
Yes. And this is another place where technology can really, I think, shine. There are tools that can automate so much of this now. Machine learning, AI, analyzing how people are using the systems, spotting anomalies, enforcing policies, all in real time.
It's not just about, like, throwing bodies at the problem then.
Not at all. Technology, it can make your security so much more efficient, so much more effective.
This is really interesting. So we've talked about technology, but what about the human side of this?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you can have the best tech in the world, but if your employees don't get it.
Yeah, technology is only one piece of the puzzle, right? You've got to build that culture of security, awareness, make people accountable.
Right. If my employees don't understand why zero trust matters, if they don't know how to follow the rules, well, then it doesn't matter how strong my defenses are.
Exactly. And that's why you've got to communicate. You've got to explain this stuff. Why are we doing zero trust? How does it work? What's in it for us? You can't just tell people what they can't do. They need the why.
Right. Exactly. And I imagine it's a two-way street too, right? Like, get their feedback.
Oh, absolutely. If they're running into roadblocks, if it's making their jobs harder, zero trust, it shouldn't feel like this burden.
Right. You need that balance. Right. Security and, well, just being able to get work done.
Exactly. That's why when you're planning this whole thing out, when you're putting zero trust into place, you've got to include people from all over the company. It can't just be the IT folks off in a corner making all the decisions.
It's got to be a team effort.
Absolutely. When everyone understands, when everyone's on board, that's when you start to see that promise of zero trust. More secure, more resilient, you know.
So for our listener, diligently taking notes, soaking all this up, as we wrap up this part of our deep dive, what are some of those key takeaways? What should they be thinking about? So for our listener, diligently taking notes, soaking all this up, as we wrap up this part of our deep dive, what are some of those key takeaways? What should they be thinking about?
Well, I think really the big takeaway here is that zero trust, it's not just about the technology, you know? It's a completely different way of approaching security. We're moving away from just assuming things are safe, and we're saying, prove it, verify, validate.
It's like, we've got to break those old habits.
Yeah.
No more castles and moats. We need to think smaller, faster, more adaptable.
Yeah, exactly. Challenge everything you think you know. Those old approaches might not work anymore. New technologies, new processes, got to be open to those.
So it sounds like how a company puts zero trust into practice, that's going to be different for everyone.
Right.
Depends on their priorities, their risk tolerance.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. There's no, like, one solution that fits every situation. But those principles we've been talking about, those seven tenets, that's a really solid place to start. No matter what your organization looks like, those principles still apply.
So practically speaking, where does our listener begin? What are some real concrete first steps to take on that zero trust journey?
Honestly, a great first step is just to look at where you're at. Assess your security. What are your most valuable assets? Where are your vulnerabilities? What's your risk appetite as an organization? Get a handle on that.
So know what you're working with, know the landscape before you start building anything.
Yeah, exactly. Once you can see your risks clearly, then you can prioritize right. What needs zero trust the most? And remember, you don't have to tackle it all at once. Start small. Pick one application, one data set, something manageable. Get a win under your belt and then go from there.
Incremental progress. Don't let yourself get overwhelmed by the bigness of it all.
Exactly. And as you start making these changes, communication is key. I know we talked about that earlier, but it's important. Explain what you're doing, why you're doing it, what's the benefit. Help people understand.
Right. Because if the people using the systems every day don't get it, if they're fighting it, you know, none of this is going to work.
Exactly. Get everyone on board. Make it a team effort. Shared responsibility.
This has been amazing. Seriously, thank you so much for really breaking this down for us. Zero trust architecture, it's a lot to unpack.
Oh, it's my pleasure, really. It's a topic I could talk about for days, but hopefully this has given your listeners a good, you know, a good foundation.
I think so. And for everyone listening, if you're feeling, well, a little overwhelmed, don't panic. This isn't something you figure out overnight. It's a journey. It's a process. Start with those small steps. Don't be afraid to look for help. Those NIST guidelines are out there. There's a ton of great resources to help you on that zero trust journey. And the good news, the reason to go on this journey in the first place. Zero Trust, it's not just about protecting against threats. It's about building a stronger, more resilient organization. It's about being able to adapt to change. And in today's world, that's more important than ever.